Hello, my name is Daniel Moth. This screencast recording is one part of a four-part screencast series that accompanies the MSDN Magazine article that I wrote introducing C++ AMP. I hope you like it. Now that you understand all the basics from all the previous code we've written, you might be wondering how you can choose which accelerator to execute your algorithm on. So once you've implemented your algorithm in C++ AMP, you know, how do you say where it executes? Because we haven't said that so far. Well, it turns out that part of the concurrency namespace with C++ AMP, we're introducing a new accelerator type. And it represents a device on the system that the C++ AMP runtime can use. So for Microsoft's implementation of C++ AMP, for the first release, you can only target hardware with a DirectX 11 driver installed, you know, or DirectX emulators executing on the CPU, and we have a couple of those. Now, when the C++ AMP runtime starts, you know, when you call one of its methods and it initializes, what it does internally is it enumerates all accelerators on the system, and based on internal heuristics, it picks one as the default. And that's why you didn't have to deal with accelerators directly in all of the preceding code that we wrote. You know, default was picked for you. However, if you want to enumerate the accelerators and even choose one for yourself, that is very easy to do. So let me go and paste in a function. And let's go and call this function before we perform any computation. So there it is. That's the new line that I've added while you were not looking. And before we look at that first line, I want to focus on this one. Just by saying accelerator chosen one, so effectively calling the empty constructor, that gives you back the accelerator that we have picked as the default. So then you could use this and maybe examine its dedicated memory to see you know, if it's large enough for what you want to do, and then you could make decisions based on that. Or maybe you want to check if it's plugged into the display. Maybe you want to use it if it is, or maybe you don't. Maybe you want to use a discrete GPU that's not plugged in to the display. So just by doing that simple one line of code, then you can go and examine the default one that we picked for you. If you want to create one yourself, you can do that. So for example, with this line of code I wrote, I've got a variable like this, which is an accelerator, and it's an accelerator of the reference rasterizer. So this is an accelerator that's the emulator. It's a slow emulator, single-threaded, which is only used for correctness. So when you debug, this is the emulator that you want to be using. So you can see how you can pass a device path, that's what this is here, to the accelerator constructor, and then, boom, you've got your own accelerator. I could have said here, warp, and that will give us another emulator, a fast one this time. This is one you would want to use in production, which is a fallback, is the fallback for C++ AMP on multi-core. It uses multi-core, multiple cores from your CPU, and also SIMD instructions, so SSC2 or even Neon from ARM. So this is a fast CPU fallback that C++ AMP offers if you do not have hardware. And if you wanted to, instead of waiting for that to be set as a default for you in the absence of hardware, you could go and choose it specifically, and then you'd have an accelerator like that. Or another thing you can do, which is what I'm doing here on the first line, is you can go and just call the getAll function on the accelerator, and that will give you a vector of accelerator objects. And then you could go and iterate through that with your favorite enumeration mechanism, and go and filter it to a smaller set, or just pick the one that you really, really want to use. And that's kind of what I'm doing down here. So if you look at this code here, what I'm doing is I'm going and I'm calling findif, so that's again from algorithm, and I'm giving it the iterators begin and end, and then a lambda that you're very familiar with now. I'm not capturing anything, and as a parameter to my code, I'm going to receive an accelerator. So I'm going to receive every accelerator that's in that body. And when I return true from the body of code that I passed to this findif algorithm, that's going to stop, and then I'm going to have my accelerator, which I can obtain like this. But first I have to check that indeed I found one, and that's what I'm doing over here. So if I hadn't found one, then you can implement the else as you like, if you didn't find an accelerator that meets your criteria. Or as I have done here, it's just going to fall back to whatever AMP has decided is the best default. So whether you find one or whether you leave it to AMP, ultimately what this code does on the last line is just output the description for that accelerator. Now, of course, just by putting the console in the description, you have not really chosen this accelerator to be used by the runtime. So let me add some more code to show you one option you have here. Okay, so what I've done here is I've said, okay, I found my accelerator, I'm going to get its device path and pass it to the static set default method of an accelerator in order to override and say, hey, this is the default that I want the C++ AMP runtime to be using. And this is something you can only call once, and you have to call it before the runtime uses the default that it had selected. And that's why you get back a Boolean. So you have to check that. If it's false, it means that this didn't succeed, and you have to take alternative measures. So if it does succeed, though, you've just override the default, and for the rest of this, you know, the process lifetime, that's the default that the runtime will be using whenever you don't specify one. So that is one approach you can take. Another approach is to just return that accelerator and just pass it around to the pieces of code that you want to use it. And that's a way that you could have two accelerators and pass the two around so different parts of your code can use two different accelerators at the same time or not. That would be your choice. So how would you do that? Well, let's say that here I'm going to have accelerator. And then that means that here I can go and just return the chosen one directly. So here I've got the accelerator and I can pass it to the piece of code that I want it to be used at. So let's say that this was the piece of code. So now what I've done is I found my accelerator, I pass it to this calculation. If I had others, I could pass it to others or pass different accelerators to others. And then now here I get to use it. So how can I use it? Well, it's very simple. Parallel4each has another overload that accepts an accelerator view as its first argument. So you have an accelerator, but you can have views of accelerators. So how does that work? It's as simple as that. So now this computation will be using that particular accelerator through the default view that I passed to it. I'm going to leave it as an exercise to you to read our blog post and find out other usages, such as create view, which takes a queuing mode, and that allows you to control how these computations are scheduled onto the accelerator. So that's why you can have multiple views over a single accelerator. So you can get an accelerator, and then wherever you pass it, it's an accelerator view that you really need to be using. And that concludes our little exploration of the accelerator and leaving you to explore the accelerator view on your own. Thank you very much for watching. Please ensure that you have watched all four parts in the screencast series to get the full benefit. If you have questions, feel free to contact me so I can point you to our MSDN forum named Parallel Computing in C++ and Native Code. Thanks.